Tarlehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End Weekend Preview. I certainly didn't see this coming a few months ago, but we're on our penultimate show of the campaign, with Reading all but secure of championship status for next season. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined for the first time by the Working Papers, Isaac Farnworth. Isaac, welcome to the show. How's it going?
It's going all right, Ollie. Thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
No worries at all. I mean, you've been working with the Working Paper for around 2.5 years now, I think, and obviously you've covered a couple of games for them as well since Tom Crocker's departed a few months ago, or last month, should I say.
Yes, yeah, I have. I kind of started, I think it was year 12 at school. I'm now in my second year at university. And yeah, started with a Woodley United game, and then quite quickly was bumped into the Reading press box. I think my first game was Reading against Burton, probably in November 2016, which was a nice 3-0 win for the Royals. And yeah, ever since, just done some reports when I can, and it's been good fun since Tom has departed for bigger and better things, perhaps with Echo to step up and do some away games as well. It's been good.
Fantastic. Yeah, I saw you at Norwich a few weeks ago as well. How was that as an experience?
Oh, it was incredible. That was my I guess that was my first away game with the paper, and should Norwich being league leaders, it was a fantastic atmosphere at Carrow Road. I really, really was impressed with the noise and the atmosphere there, and obviously Reading getting that late equaliser. Rinomota's fantastic first goal for the club was very exciting. It was great to be there to witness it.
You must be some sort of lucky charm or something. I think, well, I mean, our form has gone up massively, I think, over the last couple of games, of course, including that 0-0 draw with West Brom on Monday, that all but secured our safety, combined with Rotherham's 3-1 defeat to Birmingham, meaning that Reading are now 6 points clear of the bottom three with two games to go and a superior goal difference. How do you see Reading approaching these final two games then, Isaac? You know, as I say, it's not really a scenario we sort of thought we would be in a few months ago. I mean, does Jose Gomez stick with the strongest team? You know, he can. Obviously, you know, I think mathematically we can still finish as high as 17th this season, you know, or does he potentially try a few new things, you know, to get a bit of a head start ahead of the pre-season?
It's a good question. I think it's about finding the balance. Obviously, Reading is on a little bit of a run now where they're picking up points, not getting defeated as they were so frequently earlier in the season. I think it makes sense to keep pushing on, try and jump up that table and finish as strongly as they can. But as you say, at the same time, there's plenty of young talent on that bench. We've seen McIntyre and Barrett in recent weeks on the bench and kind of introduced the subs. But I'd be very excited to see a couple of those guys getting some starts in these last few games.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, we'll talk about a bit more about that in the team news section in part three. But let's have a listen then to what Jose Gomez has been saying ahead of the trip to Riverside, and what he's been saying about what he's expecting from Middlesbrough.
Extremely well organised defensively. You know, they are very, very strong. I think together with Sheffield United is the team that conceded less goals on the league. And it means a lot. It means that they are very strong, very organized, very difficult to find the spaces to their goal, and we must try to find and protect for their fast and counter attacks and crosses that they are very strong doing it.
Well, let's talk about Middlesbrough in a bit more detail then. This their second season back in the Championship after relegation from the Premier League in 2017. Last year, they lost in the playoff semi-finals. This year, they're right in the mix for the top six again, currently seventh. I think only outside the playoffs on goal difference. Their recent form hasn't been great, though. They lost 3-0 to Nottingham Forest on Easter Monday, which is their joint heaviest defeat of the season so far. I think it ended a run of three straight wins for them as well. Before that, they'd lost six games in a row, which is actually the second worst losing streak in the Championship this season. QPR's seven defeats in a row being the longest, so I think we're quite thankful we're not in amongst that group. But just three wins in 11 games for Middlesbrough. How does that make you feel about Reading's chances for this one? Isaac, obviously, you know that they aren't in great form, but at the same time, they certainly need the points a lot more than we do. You know that they're still right in the hunt for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Obviously, Middlesbrough are so close, obviously, level on points with Derby at the playoffs, although Derby have got a game in hand on Borough. The difficult run for them. Obviously, Tony Pulis will be absolutely keen to get these 3 points at the weekend against Reading, and that they'll fancy their chances against us. But at the same time, it's probably not a bad time to play them if they are struggling at the moment. And obviously, they're going to be so desperate to get these points. It's going to be interesting. I think I think Reading definitely got a good chance. Be very interesting to see how the game pans out, really, because Borough is obviously such a big club, been in the Premier League for so many years, and they're just going to be desperate to get in those playoffs and have a chance to have a day out at Wembley.
Yeah, for sure. I think especially after the missing out last season in the playoffs, they'll be want to try and, you know, right some wrongs, certainly after that one. But I mean, it's very, very clear, you know, where their strengths lie and sort of how they've got to be where they are this season. And that's in their defence. I mean, just 39 goals conceded this season, which is the joint best record in the Championship, along with Sheffield United, as Jose Gomez said in his comments earlier. 19 clean sheets for goalkeeper Darren Randolph as well. I think that's the second most in the league. And I think Randolph was yesterday named in the PFA team of the year for this season. They've played with five at the back as well of late. I think it's basically their only three main fit centre-backs, I think, as well. So, you know, how do Reading try and get past that, Isaac? Obviously, you know, we'll talk about the injury news in part three of the show, but I think, you know, we'll be without Nelson Oliveira and Jackie Mata, you know, so it's going to be tough to break them down. I mean, we saw on Monday against West Brom that certainly when those two players went off, you know, they just sort of lacked that quality in the final third.
Yeah, that is a great point. It's obviously a huge, huge blow to be without Mate and Oliveira for the last couple of games of the season. But I guess it's just a chance for the likes of Loader to step up and start banging in the goals, because obviously the goals have got to come from somewhere. It's difficult. Obviously, I mean, Aidan Flint, for example, who's come in from Bristol in June of last year, he's been a massive asset to them this season. As you mentioned there, fantastic defensive record. A real strong back line, and Reading are just going to have to find a way to break that down. I think maybe if we use the pace with Barrow and McCleary out on the wings, maybe that's a way in. But yeah, it's going to be difficult for Reading, but they're going to have to find a way somehow.
Yeah, indeed. Aidan Flint, Paddy McNair and Ryan Shotton, the three centre-backs they've used in recent weeks. You know, so that's a very experienced sort of set of three centre-backs at this level budget. So I think I'd agree it would be that pace. I think especially, you know, with no Yaki Mata, we'll have to see how Mo Bower can do on his own. And we'll talk a bit more about Danny Loader in part three of the show. But hopefully, you know, he can break his duck in these final two games. But, you know, certainly if the defence is Middlesbrough's strong point, then the attack is definitely their weakest, which I think you might say, you know, sort of sums up a typical Tony Pulis side. But I mean, only Stoke, Ipswich and Bolton have scored fewer goals than Middlesbrough's 45 this season, which is incredible, really, considering that they're seventh in the table. But half of those goals for Middlesbrough have come from Britta Sombalonga and Ashley Fletcher. So they're the two players to look out for Reading's defence. And there's a slightly interesting stat, really, actually. And out of all the players currently in the Championship, only Chris Martin, and of course Reading had on loan last season, has scored more goals against Reading than Sombalonga. He's got five goals and three assists in seven games against us. So a very, very good record for him. I mean, he's obviously a very established Championship striker. Isaac, you know, very strong, very good in the air. I mean, can Liam Moore and Matt Miazga stop him?
From any point of view, you're going to have to say that you'd like to think so. I mean, he's always been there or thereabouts, hasn't he, in the Championship?
Yeah.
Reading did show some interest a few years ago. He's a top player. Still only 26 years of age, actually. He's still pretty young. Obviously, from Reading's point of view, if they can stop him, the chances are they may well stop Middlesbrough going forwards. As you mentioned, they're not scoring so many goals. And if they're tight at the back, we can, hopefully we can exploit their, potentially if they're slightly more toothless in front of goal than some of the other teams Reading faced in recent weeks, we can use that to our advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember a goal somewhere along the score. I think it was possibly last season in the home game, and it was a header. And I always seem to remember him scoring headers either against us or in other games. But I think obviously with Matt Miazga coming in, one of his key strengths is sort of his aerial ability. So you would hope. But I think Middlesbrough in general are a very tall side. I mean, you mentioned Aidan Flint earlier. I think he's probably about 6'6". In typical Tony Pulis style, you know, they are a very tall team and might be a threat from set pieces. But it is time then to get the inside view on Middlesbrough as we head into the view from the town end.
The view from the town end.
What do your opposition think?
View from the town end time now, and with Reading travelling to Middlesbrough on Saturday, I'm pleased to say that I'm joined by two Middlesbrough fans this week in Dana and Elliot from the Borough Breakdown podcast. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, it's going great, thanks. Yeah.
we've got just two games left of the season now. Obviously, talk me through the campaign so far for Middlesbrough. I think I'd imagine you probably had promotion ambitions back in August, obviously having reached the playoffs last year. I think you started very, very well indeed, and obviously being in the top six for the majority of the campaign. But, you know, the form has dropped off of late, and now it's going to go right down to the wire, I think.
Yeah, I think it's been a largely strange season, to be fair, because, you know, we didn't really recruit very well in the summer. And then, you know, to add to that, in January as well, we only brought in Van La Parra, who I think played maybe about 50 or so minutes for us before going back to Huddersfield with an injury. So, you know, I've always said on the podcast that, you know, our results have really caught up to us, because I've never really felt this season, although we've been good enough. I don't know whether Elliot necessarily agrees, but you know, I feel as though this season it has been a weird one. There's a sort of disconnect between the fans and the players, you know, the performances that we're putting out there on the pitch. And
yeah,
our form this, you know, recently, I feel is, you know, it's been coming, to be fair.
Yeah, I think I'd have to back that up as well. It's been a strange season. I think, you know, obviously looking at it, you know, I think a lot of teams in the Championship would obviously love to be in the position where we are, you know, still looking to challenge for the top six. But I think what it's been is that we still feel a bit mystified as to how we're in this position. even when the games we have won, there tends to be really poor quality. We tend to go 2-0 up at halftime. You know, that's seen the game out. It's a you know, typical Tony Pulis trait, if you like. So it's a bit of a funny one. I think the fans have really become disengaged because the style of play is not pretty on the eye. And I think at the start of the season, we grinded out some results that we didn't necessarily deserve. So I think, like Dana said, when we went on that run of six defeats just recently, I think it was kind of evening itself out. So, yeah, it's a funny one. But like I say, with two games to go, we're still within a shout. And, you know, the playoffs is a bit of a lottery, so we could we still end up making something of the season, really.
Tony Pulis is obviously clearly someone who sort of splits opinion. Obviously, he's a very experienced manager. You know, he knows the Championship very well. He's managed in the Premier League as well. But then you mentioned it there, his style of play sort of doesn't get too many plaudits. Obviously, you know, you don't concede many goals, but, you know, but at the same time, you do struggle to score quite a lot as well. I mean, what's the current feeling around him? Is he still the right man for the job or not?
Well, you know, as far as we know, he's going to be here until the summer. You know, so I feel as though, obviously, with only two games left, there's no point getting rid of him. And even when kind of the results were, you know, going against us with those six defeats, it probably still wasn't the right time to get rid of him because, as I said, you know, his contract is up in the summer. So, yeah, probably just, you know, stick with him. Obviously, we have to. But there's a lot of animosity there towards Tony Pulis. And I feel as though he was kind of... it was a difficult job for him to take in the first place because there is this kind of preconceived tag, you know, over his head of his style of play, like you mentioned. And he's never really kind of won the fans over, has he? It's kind of just been a losing battle for Tony Pulis at Middlesbrough.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans, kind of everyday fans, would look at it and, you know, if we were in the top two now, it'd kind of get looked over, I think, his style of play. I think personally, it's a bit outdated and, it has kind of reminiscence, and we've said it before on here, of Roy Hodgson's 2006 Euro team, of kind of just, you know, putting about eight men behind the ball and, you know, trying to hit on a counter attack. And it hasn't worked this season at all. And like you said, very, very low scorers in the league. I think there's only three teams below us. I think one's Stoke, maybe one's Rotherham. But yeah, it's not great to watch, and I think Tony Pulis, I think with his contract being up in the summer, I think we will look to go elsewhere because I don't think the Borough hierarchy have been too pleased with how the fans have reacted this season, both to the season ticket renewals that have just happened and stuff like that. So,
you know, I'm just looking now. Yeah, it's Stoke, Ipswich, and Bolton. So obviously two relegated sides, and so perhaps not the best reading, but obviously. You know, we did mention that earlier. You're still in with a chance of the playoffs with two games to go. I mean it's going to go right down to the wire. So I think you're only 1 point, or I think you're currently, are you level with Derby on goal difference, or just behind on goal difference?
Well, Derby on point.
But I mean, they've got a game in hand, as do Bristol City. I mean, I'd imagine you probably need to win both of these final two games if you are to make the top six.
Yeah, we need to hope that Derby draw against Bristol City as well, because that's their game in hand.
Okay.
But I mean, to be fair, with our form, the way that our season's kind of, in a sense, petered out a little bit in the past few weeks, I think there's not a lot of confidence, really. You know, we're not really scoring many goals. Our defence since the turn of the year has been, you know, kind of gradually getting worse and worse, I'd say. I certainly don't think that, you know, obviously when you do look at our record, we do technically, well, we still have the best defence in the league, but I never really feel as though we've really deserved that in a sense this season, because we have since January been incredibly poor. I mean, there was that one game against Newport where they knocked us out of the cup. We just looked a mess. We looked all over the shop, and I think, you know, after that it's not really improved, and it's been difficult for Boris since then. And, you know, playoffs, I've always said we'll scrape it, but I'm certainly not confident if we do, you know, get into the top six and stay in the top six until the end of the season that we'll go further than that. I just don't have confidence in the team, really.
You'll probably play the Leeds or Sheffield United, I suppose, won't you? Because they'll be the team finishing third, and I imagine you might finish sixth, so...
Yeah, but I mean, I certainly don't have a lot of confidence in us against Leeds as well, because even, you know, they obviously lost the last two games, they've still got a really, really good team, and they've obviously got Patrick Bamford as they used to play against us. So, I mean, if we do face each other, then he's probably nailed on the score.
Moving on to the weekend, then, have you seen much of Reading this season? What sort of challenge are you expecting at the weekend?
I've been quite surprised by Reading, to be honest, this year. I expected you to be a lot higher up than where you should have been. I know, well, from this last season, season four, under the Yapstam, you really turned the corner, and it looked like there was a lot of optimism within the club. But it just seems to be a bit of a mess from our perspective. I appreciate that we're going through a little bit. I wouldn't say essentially it's a rough patch, which is just more of like a disengage with the manager. But from what I've seen from Reading, it looks like you've really struggled this year to try and nail yourself down in terms of like a style of play, but also getting points on the board as well. Is that something that you probably agree with? Or
For sure. I think especially under Paul Clement at the start of the season, I mean, it's turned around dramatically under Jose Gomez since he came in December, and obviously secured safety on Monday against West Brom. But yeah, I think certainly at the beginning of the campaign, it was similar to what you were mentioning earlier, really, about the disconnect between the fans and the players. But I think credit to Gomez, he's sort of solved that in many ways since coming in. As for yourselves, guys, who are the Borough players to look out for at the weekend?
Not really many. I think
probably Darren Randolph in goal. Yeah. I think going forward,
the PFA team of the year. I think I saw.
Yeah, did. Yeah.
To be fair, it says something when your goalkeeper is your best player. In the squad, in seventh position, it speaks volumes. Just because it's a style of football that we've played, no one really has the ability to stand out. It's more or less if we get ahead within the first 10 minutes, I think it'd be very difficult for Reading to get an equaliser and maybe take all 3 points. But if you guys stick in for that first 15-20 minutes, it's your game to win, essentially. I think we tend to sit back after about 20 minutes. And just defend for the rest of it. But in terms of players to look out for, Ashley Fletcher's been really bright the last few weeks. But apart from that, Ashley Fletcher and Darren Randolph is the only two I'd probably mention, if I'm honest with you.
I think with our injuries that we have as well, we're quite limited in who we can play. I think we only have kind of our main starting 11, and it's going to be the same three subs till the end now. It's literally it. We've got no other choices. Most of the defenders are injured, but we still managed to somehow play five at the back. And, you know, kind of one of our other main players, who we were just talking about a couple of weeks ago, kind of battling out for player of the season, if you like, between Darren Randolph and Lewis Wing. Lewis Wing kind of came from Shildon Town, which I believe are sixth or seventh tier club. Went out on loan first to Yeovil and then kind of broke through and got in the first team. And he's been quite creative for us, playing like in a centre attacking midfield position, or, you know, dropping back into kind of a three in centre midfield. And kind of he was one of the main players, but he got injured as well. So it's kind of, I think at the moment, we play kind of a high pressing game when, like Johnny said, in the first 15 or 20 minutes. And after that, we do sit back. So we do look to try and take the lead early on. And the wing backs who will most likely be, I guess, Johnny Howson and George Saville will push on and and try and close down and win the ball back high up the field. But I think that's how I see it going, really.
I think we had a goalkeeper as our player of the year for 3 years in a row a few years ago. So I know the feeling. But finally then, guys, can I get a score prediction for you for the weekend?
I was gonna be optimistic for Middlesbrough and say 1-0 win. If I'm honest, if when we get ahead, we don't ever concede. And I think it's a bit hard for teams when you've got playing 11 men behind the ball. So it's I was gonna say 1-0. I think we'll score early doors, but
I do feel as though we've brought our luck in the past few games. Though. I mean, we played Hull and Dan Randolph pulled off a really good save at the end from Kamal Grzycki. I don't really know whether that's kind of going to even itself out, and I don't know. Yourselves, if we go 1-0 ahead, whether you'll kind of get back into the game, but I'm gonna go on with the same scoring as Johnny. I think I'm gonna go 1-0 Borough.
Yeah, I'll make that a full house and I'll go 1-0 as well. That's kind of the last few wins that we've had have been around that same scoreline. And like Johnny said, I think obviously if we do take the lead early on, I think it'll kind of stay that way.
So that never normally happens that we all see the same scoreline, so that's the first.
Yeah. Well, I was actually going to say 1-0 as well. Incredibly, I had that down, but I think obviously because you need to win a lot more than we do now. Obviously, that our safety is secured. So I'm going to go for a 1-0, just as it was back in December. I think. I mean, would the season be classed as a failure for you if you didn't make the top six?
It depends what you define a failure is. Really, the club's probably been in one of the best positions it's ever been in terms of financially and not well on equipment, but financially getting players coming through the system. Where the club is in terms of like training facilities, that's probably the best it's ever been. But in terms of on the pitch and where we thought we'd be towards the end of the season, we all pretty much said playoffs are just out of it. We never really said we'd go up. So I wouldn't say it's much of a failure if we weren't to go up this season. To be honest, we'd be doing ourselves a favour if we didn't go up. So it's, I wouldn't say it's too much of a failure. I think it's probably more of a failure in terms of more like a Reading perspective. I really expected you guys to be further up this season, but
yeah,
that's just materialised.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, I think we all thought back at the start that we should be having a better season considering the players that we had in our side. But yeah, my thanks then to all of you for joining me on The View from the Town, and all the best at the weekend and for the rest of the season.
No problem.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ollie.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome back to The Tarlhurst End weekend preview, looking ahead to Middlesbrough versus Reading this weekend. Looking at the injury news then, it has been confirmed sadly that Yaku Mate and Nelson Oliveira will miss these final two games because of the hamstring injuries they picked up against West Brom. And of course, that does mean that Oliveira returns to Norwich off his loan spell, and I think we'll have to wait and see whether the funds are there in the summer to sign him permanently. I think there was an agreement within the loan deal for that move to happen, but whether Reading can find the funds, I think is probably the issue there. Tyler Blackett as well is looking doubtful, also because of a hamstring injury picked up against West Brom on Monday. John Daybod Varson, meanwhile, and Paul McShane and John O'Shea are all, so I think they're either sort of in light training or just beginning to train outside, so I doubt we'll see them this weekend, and we might see potentially Bod Varson back for Birmingham, I think. And then of course you've got the longer term ones such as John Swift and Jordan Abita. And it does mean though, Isaac, of course, and now we are going to see a couple of changes to the team this weekend. What would your starting 11 be against Middlesbrough?
Yeah, so my starting 11 is Martinez in goal, Yeardon, McIntyre, Moore and Miasco across the back. Then you've got Baker, Ejaria, Rinomota, Barrow, McCleary and Loader up top. That's my team.
Fantastic. Yeah, I think mine is fairly similar. I think mine is exactly the same, apart from I'd have Gunter in for McIntyre, and we'll speak a little bit more about both of those players in just a minute. But yeah, I think that would be the team I'd go for, I think. So I'd go for Martinez, Yeardon, Moore, Miasca, Gunter, Rinomota, Baker, Ejaria, McCleary, Loader and Barrett, which I believe is the team that finished against West Brom. I think after, obviously, McCleary, Gunter and Loader all came on as subs for those injured players. And we'll talk briefly about Daniel Loader. And obviously, we mentioned him a little bit earlier as well. Obviously, probably the main option to start up front on Saturday, unless Sam Baldock, of course, comes back in. I think he was on the bench at the weekend, but probably wasn't quite fit enough to come on as early as Loader did. How good would it be, Isaac, for Loader to score his first senior goal for Reading in these final two games? Because he has sort of struggled a little bit in the last couple of games. Obviously, you know, really should have scored against West Brom, I think, at least once. I think when Gareth McLeary sort of, you know, cut the ball back to him and he sort of shot straight at the goalkeeper, perhaps could have done better there. But, you know, I think for me, he's not quite ready for Championship football just yet. I mean, still only 18 years old, of course. But then the problem for me is that, you know, he also seems far too good for academy football. I think, you know, he always, you know, seems to score, you know, at least one or two whenever he drops back down to the under-23s. I mean, is a loan spell perhaps the best option for him next season?
It's a good point. He seems to be a little bit stuck in between, doesn't he, between the under-23 level and the first team Championship. He's clearly got a great eye for goal. He just, at the moment, is not clinical enough maybe to warrant the starting shirt when the likes of Mate and Oliveira have been fit. It's difficult, as you say. He's so young. He's still only 18. But yeah, 18 appearances so far for the first team and still hasn't managed to get that first goal. I think it's really important for him to get that monkey off his back as soon as possible, whether it be against Middlesbrough or against Birmingham or who knows, we'll see. But yeah, no, I think he's got such a good bright future ahead of him. It just would maybe be a great confidence boost if he were to go out on loan and score, I don't know, 15, 20 goals next season and just kind of get into that flow, the habit of just scoring goals regularly at first team level.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's clearly a very, very talented player. You know, he's played for England. Obviously, he won the World Cup with the England under 17s, I think it was. You know, and he scores quite regularly for the England under 19s now as well and scored, I think, probably at least 15 or so goals for the under 23s so far this season. But yeah, I think it's perhaps just that experience needed coming up against, you know, sort of these veteran defenders, you know, who've played 5 or 10 years in the Championship. Is obviously very different, you know, to playing, you know, up against, you know, 19 and 20 year olds at academy level. In terms of other young players that might feature, you know, we spoke earlier about potentially Gomez trying some things out in these last two games. You know, I think a few fans have said they'd like to see a couple of younger players feature. I mean, one point briefly for me on that is that obviously at a time of recording, the under-23s have their Bucks and Bucks Cup final the day after the Birmingham game. And obviously, it's still a bit up in the air whether they'll be in that competition with the whole controversy over, I think, Marlow and Slough and disallow players and whatnot. And Reading is still sort of mixed up in that. But as it stands, we are going to be playing in that final the day after the Birmingham game. So perhaps not too many opportunities for younger players in that game, you know, if they are to play in the Bucks and Bucks Cup final. So perhaps that might come this weekend. Obviously, you've gone with Tom McIntyre in your lineup, Isaac. And obviously, we mentioned Josh Bout as well, who's been on the bench in recent weeks. I mean, do you think either of those, you know, two do have a chance or any of the other academy players?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I don't know if your listeners will be aware, but I actually got quite fairly close connections to Tom McIntyre. I went to the same primary school and was actually part of the same team in year six. I went all the way to a National Cup final and played at Wembley, which was
very nice.
Definitely the pinnacle of my football career. And I think since then, our careers have taken slightly different trajectories. I think Tom's fantastic. Obviously, it was such a shame for him to fracture his skull, have that horrific injury just like 15 minutes into his debut against Rotherham back in December. And since then, I guess he's had a couple of substitute appearances. And I think he's done fairly well. And the fans just love him because he's obviously a homegrown talent. He's been watching as a season ticket holder since the age of 4 or 5. Real, real passion for the club. So I think this is the sort of time to throw Tom in at the deep end and get him playing these games and just get more minutes under his belt at this elite level. And it's Josh Barrett as well. I mean, he's just so talented. He scores goals in 23 football. He's such a great playmaker, so creative on the ball. And I think I'd love to see both of them, maybe not starting, who knows. As you say, they've got this Bucks Cup final in the back of their minds as well.
Bit of a mouth, wasn't it?
It is, just a little bit. it'd be interesting to see what Gomez comes up with in the end and then where he kind of put where the priorities lie, I guess, with those players.
I mean, it's almost a bit of a shame, really, for McIntyre, because obviously, you know, his only games so far have been away at Rotherham and away at Bristol City. And obviously, if he plays this weekend, that's another away game. So he still hasn't made his senior home debut for Reading yet, which obviously, you know, being a boyhood fan. But, you know, I completely agree. Obviously, you had that fantastic interview with him on the Living the Dream podcast, which I recommend anyone who's not listened to that so far to go and check that out. And I think no worries at all. I mean, I was going to say, you know, because, you know, we are getting that feeling back between, you know, the club and the fans. And I think someone like McIntyre, you know, as you mentioned, who is, you know, that a boyhood fan, you know, certainly enhances, you know, even though he's, I think he's still 20, isn't he? So, you know, he certainly still enhances that sort of connection between the club and the fan base.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really, really good point you make there. It's so important to keep that connection between the club and the club and the fans. When the team's struggling on the pitch and there's some issues off the pitch, perhaps, then you can kind of get a bit of separation between the two. I think it's really important that the club use this kind of momentum that the Reading have picked up in the last couple of games, last month or so, to really use it to their advantage and draw the fans and the club much closer together. And it's the likes of Tom who are going to be able to do that.
And obviously, Jesse Gomez obviously shown willingness to play those academy players, obviously giving debuts to Ryan East and to Michael Elise. Gabriel Osho, of course, has played earlier in the season as well. On the other end of the scale, of course, two of the academy players, one of the most experienced names in Reading's squad, Chris Gunter, and we'll likely see him start because of that Tyler Blackett injury. I mean, what are your thoughts on Gunter, Isaac? Obviously, you know, as I say, a very experienced player, you know, being virtually a mainstay in the Reading side ever since he joined in 2012, sort of up until this season, really, when Andy Yeardom has come in and sort of made that right back spot his own. I mean, I think a lot of fans were probably relatively happy to see Gunter sort of drop out of the team. I think, you know, he's faced his fair share of critics over the last few years. But, I mean, I have to say, I mean, he's been very, very good when he's played in the last couple of games. I mean, he made that clearance off the line against West Brom on Monday. I mean, he's got 1 year left on his contract. You know, in terms of the summer, Isaac, you know, is he someone you want to keep hold of, or is it perhaps an opportunity to make a bit of money out of him?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, he's been such a great servant to the club. Came in 2012, played 258 times, and he's just an incredible, it's an incredible servant for the club. He's played for Wales so many times, record number of appearances there. I don't know, it's difficult. And as you say, the last few games where he has been called upon, he's come in, and ever the professional, he's come and done a great job. He has faced some criticism in over the years about his playing, maybe not always the most positive going forwards. But I think he's a great servant and a great player. And it's just interesting to see now what he will do. He's got this year left on his contract. Will he stay? Will he go? I think personally, for his career, I think he'd be okay to move on and move on to something a bit different. He's been here for so many years now and he's done so well. But maybe it is time to bring someone, just to let the younger players like Yeardom and some of the academy players just come through. But no, I mean, if he does leave, all the respect to him. I think he's been a fantastic servant to the club, as I've always said about four times. I think, he'll be missed, but he's, perhaps his time is coming to an end at the club.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a bit weird, really, actually, seeing a Reading without Chris Gunter, you know, that number two shirt he's had for so long. I mean, you don't play 90-odd games for Wales and you know, be consistently picked, you know, by four or five managers for Reading, you know, if you aren't a good player. I think perhaps even, you know, that time out of the team and him coming back in the last couple of weeks has sort of reminded people, you know, of that fact, you know, that he's still a very good option. You know, he's not Premier League quality, you know, I think that's for sure, but, you know, he can certainly do a good job. You know, he is a different sort of fullback to Andy Yeardom. Obviously, you know, we've you know, come to know Yeardom as a very attacking player. You know, gets forward a lot, and I think Gunter perhaps is a bit more defensive. You know, and there's obviously pros and cons to both of those types of fullbacks. Prediction time then, Isaac. Tom never performed that well on this prediction league so far this season. Can you restore some sort of pride for the Woking and paper by getting the score right against Middlesbrough?
We'll see. I'm going to go for Middlesbrough 1, Reading 2.
Oh, very optimistic.
Yeah, I'm confident.
Well, I'm going to say 1-0 to Middlesbrough. I think just the fact that they sort of need the points more than us, and I think we might take off the gas a little bit. Obviously, I know Gomez has been saying, you know, that we're not obviously, you know, fully safe because of the goal difference, but I think within the players, they might take off a little bit. I mean, I think 1-0 seems to be quite a popular scoreline, actually. Speaking to all the three Middlesbrough fans in the view from the town, and they all went for 1-0 as well. I think Mark's also gone for 1-0 in the prediction league as well. Speaking of Mark, keep an eye out for the main show in your podcast feeds on Monday, looking back at the trip to the Riverside, hopefully with a win under Reading's belt. And then this time next week, I'll have our final weekend preview podcast of the season for the game against Birmingham. I can't believe it's quite gone so quickly. But as always, there'll be plenty of content over on the website, thetilehurstend.com, including the latest loan watch, looking at the likes of how Sonny Aluko and Vita Milne are getting on, as well as a few pieces on just how wonderful Jose Gomez is, because why not? And he's kept us up. So similarly, Isaac, what can we look forward to reading on the Woking and paper in the next couple of days?
Yes, so we sent Andy Preston, our sports editor, out to talk with this afternoon to get all the quotes, all the reaction and the pre-match stuff for Middlesbrough. So make sure you pick that up. The paper came out today. It's just 50p from all good local news agents, online as well at Wokingham, wokinghampaper.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram as well now. So if you want to stay involved with all that things, everything Reading FC and all other local teams, Woodley United, Wokingham, Brook, it's all there. All local sport, cricket season coming in now as well. Yeah, it's all happening in the Wokingham paper this week. So yeah, do pick up a copy if you can.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you very much for joining me on the Tyler Stern Weekend Preview this week. I'm sure we'll have you back on at some point as well.
No worries. It was great fun. Thanks so much for having me on.
And as always, a big thank you to you at home for listening as well. Have a safe journey. If you are travelling up to the Riverside with your inflatables at the weekend, come on, you are.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.